The reading today is from John chapter 14, verses 1 to 7. Do not be worried and upset, Jesus told them. Believe in God and believe in me. There are many rooms in my Father's house, and I'm going to prepare a place for you. I would not tell you this if it were not so. And after I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to myself, so that you will be where I am. You know the way that leads to the place where I am going? Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, so how can we know the way to get there? Jesus answered him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father except by me. Now that you have known me, he said to them, you will know my Father also. And from now on, you do know him and you have seen him.
Well, it's good to see you again. I haven't seen the movie about Bethlehem, but I have been there recently. get in the queue. When we were going away, Diane and I left in August, came back in September, the 19th of September, we arrived back. People said to me with a smile, where's your flak suit? Because they thought bad things happen in the Middle East. And if you read history, that's true. And I said, well, these people have been fighting for thousands of years. They just change their weapons. And on our tour, the only dangerous thing happened was that I had a nasty fall. I'd like to tell you that I fell down the tomb of Tutankhamun, or I tripped going into the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, but I slipped getting out of the pool at the Marriott Hotel. However, it left a bruise that was, it started off being as big as Tasmania and then got to be the size of Europe. And for $100 donation to this church, I'm happy to show. No, it's gone. The pictures. I don't think I gave Peter a topic for this thing, but I like all of you, on the 7th of October, were in shock and horror about what we saw. It's one thing to see a battle, and some of us love that. I love the Battle of Midway on TV. I went to see Napoleon the other day. It was a 3 out of 10. And Oppenheimer was a very thoughtful movie about how in the midst of terror of its own, we had to find a way out. And sometimes a way out involves awful things. But in our sort of situation, we've got to come to terms with the fact that things are happening that we don't like and we don't want. I was going to pick the topic of peace in our time. Okay, this is a quiz. Who was the man, we'll call him a politician, who said that? That's all right, we can't hear it up here. Who said peace in our time?
Chamberlain.
Sorry, could you translate that again? What'd you say? So Prime Minister Chamberlain, he came back from visiting Hitler and had a deal. And the deal was that if the Allies would give up, such as they were, Czechoslovakia and let the Germans take that, he wouldn't invade any more European cities or countries. Yeah, so... Peace is never going to be in our time, my friends, in terms of wars. And there are 36 to 38, depending who you look at, wars going on in our world today, that is internally or externally. And hundreds of thousands of people have been killed in lost lives in the World War II and World War III. They reckon One and two. There's about 17 million, as far as we know. As Omar Bradley said, the famous general who accompanied Eisenhower, he said, "We are not good enough to be so clever." And I think that was the message of the Oppenheimer movie, that we had a man and some people who could do things that were going to be absolutely horrendous and disaster, but they would finish the war, in the Pacific at least. So I've been obsessed with this thing since I came home. I rang all my I've got 100 Jewish friends, but I rang the ones I know, a few in America and a few here in Australia, and just said our thoughts and prayers are with you. This week, I was down in the eastern suburbs, which I go to about once every 3 months, and saw a group of people. It's Hanukkah time, and they had a little group of them. They were lighting candles and put their arms around each other. So I went and put my arms around them and said my prayers and the prayers of a lot of your Christian friends and brothers and sisters will be supporting you at this time, a terrible time. Because this event, remember this, because there's a bit of politics in this, but there's a lot of politics. But this came out of the blue. These two groups of people have been fighting forever. I love the way you get these smart, is there anybody here sort of 20? Terry's just clocked over. But you get these journos who get up and they're reading off you see them reading off the auto cues, and they're saying, well, you know, people think this is not to do with religion and stuff, and some people think there are, but I'm going to tell you when it started. It started in 1947. And I was sitting having a glass of Matus Rosé, as I do occasionally. And I said, what? You know when sometimes you forget that they can't hear you? Yes. And you yell at them? Yeah, your wife. I get it. Yeah. So, and this filters through as information and truth. And as the event went, I was going to say subsided. It hasn't done that. You have had people saying, oh, well, it's the Palestinians. No, it's a terrorist organisation that has initiated this. Diane and I went to Egypt, Jordan, thank you, Diane. Did you have a good time, Diane?
Did you?
Once I got a stick. Steve, I'm so blessed that you've invited me to your baptism. It's a wonderful thing to think of a bloke who's been around a bit, you could say that, and he knows what the score is with Christ. Anyway, in all of these places, we had a tour on this little bus, or a tour guide, should I say. Two of them, one for Egypt, one for Jordan. The first tour guide, his name was Mohammed, and I thought to myself, be interesting. And the second one's name was Mohammed. And the third one's name in Israel was Chrisu or something like that. It was a name I hadn't heard in any of my language, but he was a Christian and a young theological student. And in none of that did I hear them get angry or hostile. One of the Muslim guys, the Egyptian guide, said, and Egypt's fabulous. If you get a chance to get there, some of us, you know, I wish I'd have gone there 20 years ago, to be honest with you, when they had no pools. When I heard, you know, what sort of things were happening in Egypt, I was just in shock and amazement. They do amazing things, and they've got amazing strength. And at the end of his little monologue, I said, you don't really have any natural enemies because you're really self-sufficient. And he looked around at me and he said, Israel. So this has been happening for a long time, my friends. And I am of the view that from a scriptural, biblical point of view, and it's interesting, if you look at the book of Genesis, you'll find the deal that was done with God and his servant, Abraham. And he promised Abraham, you can look this up, what is it? Genesis chapter 16, I believe, yeah. And then in and out and in and out, and then Genesis 21. And he promised Abraham and Sarah a son. A baby. They were getting on a bit when the promise was made, and Sarah got a bit impatient, as women do in their 60s and 70s and 80s, and nothing was happening. This is how humanity... The thing that I love about the Bible, it's boots and all. There's no... Well, look, there's a more... And I have heard more sophisticated versions than the one that's there. I like the ones that are there. They're uncomfortable. They disturb me. They show humanity up to be pretty self-centered and not very responsive all the time to God's love. The reason I had that Bible reading and not something from the Old Testament and the fights that go on there is that I want us to remember Jesus loves us. And in his house are many men. That's the core of what we believe. And whatever the heck is going on in Gaza or New York or in Africa, where there's probably about 15 wars going on at the moment, the truth and reality is that the more we hang on to the centrality of Christ and that message gets across, the better we're going to be and the better the world is going to be. Anyway, I digress. So when Sarah found out that consummation, I think it's called now, wasn't working well, she suggested to Abraham that he, I'm trying to think of a nice word for this, have a relationship, I think we call it now, have a relationship with the handmaid who was called Hagar. Not Hagar the horrible Hagar, but Hagar the faithful servant of Abraham's wife. And suggested that maybe she was younger, obviously very willing, and they had a son called Ishmael. Years later, some years, not many, years later, Abraham was 100 by now, he had a son with his wife, Sarah. Now, I don't know, there was a bloke in the movies years ago, he's still around, I sat next to him at a funeral a few weeks ago, Jack Thompson, who had come up with this wonderful model for everybody to see. He was living with both of his wives, as he called them. And I wish I'd been more friendly with him. I didn't know him very well. I was going to say, how did that go? It didn't go very well at all. And the reality is that not only were these people breaking God's promise, but they were putting themselves in a social situation which was doomed to failure. And so, to cut a long story short, Ishmael and Hagar got kicked out of the home. And I love this part of the story. It's worth going back and reading it. And then, of course, Sarah had Isaac and everything was going well, the family of God, the history, Jesus would come out of this relationship eventually. And Ishmael and his mum, Hagar, are sitting in the desert starving to death because they didn't make the cut. Abraham broke the rules and they're getting paid for it. Well, see, what the lovely thing about God and his grace, and we're singing Amazing Grace tonight, today, is that he doesn't let people down. When he makes the promises, he keeps it. And he had promised her and Ishmael they would be the leaders. Oh, hell, Ishmael would be the... No women led in those days. Be the leader of a great nation. and that's where what we now call the Palestine. They're actually Arabs and Bedouins. Diane's just finished a book which was stimulated by some people we met there. It's called I Married a Bedouin. How would you rate that out of 10, Diane?
10.
Yeah. So very interesting. The culture thing is very interesting. And to understand the fact that when these people made promises, they expect them to be kept. And so we've had these two, the Israeli thing happening. We had the Palestine, what we now call the Palestinians, and made up of all the tribes. Everything was very tribal. When we were in this tour, we became very aware that some of these people were still tribal in their cultures. And you could kind of say, until the politicians get involved, they were sort of figuring it out among themselves. So in the wars we face in our histories, and many of us have been through some of those, we're now facing, I don't think this is an end time war. If you listen to some of the things that are on YouTube at the moment, this is the end time, and it may well be. Hey, we may have the end time when Steve gets baptized and Jesus turned up. How good would that be? Huh? Who's up for that? And here's the wonderful thing about the timing of God. We don't have to involve ourselves in all this. The people are out there looking. The people out west of here at the moment with water diviners looking for water. I wish them luck. But they could have been spending their lives serving people who needed help rather than trying to conjure up something that wasn't going to happen. So in the context of the life we're living today, what can we do about this war? We can pray for the people if we know anybody, if we can have an open mind. If we understand that there is a culmination here of two sort of histories. There's a guy I watched this week. Did I write his name down? I meant to for you. Yeah. There's a guy I've watched on TV this week on YouTube, which isn't the same as TV from my perspective. His name, can you remember this? Tom Hollard. I lie. Tom Holland. Can't read my writing. You're right, Di. I'm terrible. And he's an historian, magnificent, goes out and works with all these people. Looked at the thing that I found about Islam today would blow your socks off. Yesterday would blow your socks off. But there's no question about the fact that the people looking for leadership in the desert found Muhammad and he found them. And there are all sorts of curious things coming out of that. But in the meantime, the Jewish people had been flogged and invaded by, I think I counted up to 11 times during the ancient history and modern history. You know, the Romans, Alexander the Great, Hitler. I think we could say that we thought that had finished at Hitler. But when you watch a movie, for example, like Oppenheimer, a wonderfully gifted intellectual giant, he just happened to be Jewish. And that wasn't a problem until he married his American wife who had other interests in terms of politics. And people treated him like a piece of trash. They were happy to take his work and make it work for them so that they would finish the war. They went into that war with a consciousness that they knew that so many hundreds of thousands of people were going to get killed in the dropping of the bombs. And they would have had, as organisations do, their own little team of actuaries who have figured out, if we do this, this is going to be the consequence of that. If we do that, that's going to be the consequence. If we do nothing, it's going to be a lot worse. So in a situation where there's no winners in this situation, I want us to, as hopeless and as helpless as we feel, I want us to come out together and make an affirmation of our faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. And remember, he keeps his promises, as we've seen and as we've sung. Love those hymns this morning, Pastor. They were really spot on. My little heart was beating fast. And that's what music is to do, warm us up to hear the message of Christ. So out of the badness of life and man's actions, including the crucifixion of Christ. When I looked at this Tom Holland yesterday, he spoke to a group of people. He is very skeptical about religion. His English went away from God because he was, well, I won't tell you, look it up yourself, Tom Holland. And then he started to look at the cross of Jesus. When he went into some of these damaged, destroyed, half-destroyed places where people had visited. And one place he went to, which was a Christian community nobody's ever heard of, and this had been bombed and attacked by the local anti-religion, anti-Christ group. There was one little cross left hanging, and someone had knocked it over, and he picked it up and put it back in the chapel. And that brought him back to Christ, because he realized that that's what the center of our faith is. And we can look at people and we can make decisions about what's happening elsewhere, but it's what's happening inside us that affects our relationship. And I always say to people, the thing about being a Christian for me and about following Christ is you take the bad with the good. You take the fact that Jesus didn't promise beer and Skittles on the way through. He told them to follow, that following him would be tough. You'd have to deny the things closest to you, your family and the like, if you followed him. And then when you saw him on the cross, you knew what the cost was for him, that we can have forgiveness and freedom. Somebody in the last 48 hours has talked to me about someone they know in their family feeling guilty about this and that and something else. I'm going to say a bad word here. Damn it! I felt like saying, how can I talk to them about Christ who can help them let this go? They're carrying stuff they don't need. And that, so the message of faith, and when people want to be critical of the Jews or the Arabic people, these are not the people we're talking to from Gaza, the people who created that gruesome, disgraceful, disgusting attack, unprovoked and unexpected, a few weeks ago, 7th of October. These are not the people who are going to shops and taking their kids to school and preschool and whatever. These are people who, beneath, and they weren't Palestinian. They were Hamas, dedicated to the obliteration of a nation of people and their faith. Now, in the midst of all that, what do? You come back to the foot of the cross and say to Jesus, thank you for loving me, that I can love other people. Amen.